But who do you say that I am? Simple question, right? Jesus, the disciples, who do you say that I am? It's not a simple question. They are in the midst of the heart of the Roman Empire. They're in the middle of a city that bears the name of a Caesar, Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asks those questions of those walking with him, and in essence, he's saying, who are you willing to follow, Caesar or me? In whose company do you want to be seen, known, the Roman Empire or mine? And once you tell me who you think I am, I want you to know that that says something about who you are. Not a simple question. Because the disciples' answer will uncover what they believe about the true source of power. Their answer will suggest what they believe is truth and how it should be lived. Who do you say that I am? And my brother Peter, my hero, jumps up and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. To his brother disciples' ears, what they would have heard is, you are the hope of Israel. You are the one who is descendant from the line of David and who will again sit on the throne. You are the one, the Messiah, who will right what is wrong. You are the very Son of God. And to Peter's acclamation of faith, Jesus says, yes, Peter, yes, you are right. In fact, Peter, you didn't even know this, but God has chosen you to reveal this truth. And Peter, to you and to everyone else who knows me as the Son of God, to you and to all who call me Messiah, I want you to know you're the place where I will build my church. You're the foundation of everything I will build going forward, and you will have power. You will have power to loose on earth, to allow on earth what I would allow. And you'll have power to bind what I would bind. You'll have the power to bind that which would destroy life and destroy creation. You will have the power to bind that which is evil and not good. You, Peter, have power to bring my kingdom to earth. You'll loose shalom, the vital force of the kingdom. You'll loose love, the power of the kingdom. You'll loose forgiveness, the constructive space of the kingdom. You'll loose reconciliation, the balm of the kingdom. Peter, you will have power. You know me as Messiah. And the gates of hell will not prevail. What a promise. What a promise to Peter and the disciples. You will have power to bring my kingdom down. You'll have power to bind and to loose. You'll have power to make a difference and to walk in the way, to walk in my way, to walk in the way of Christ. It is such a power. It is such a promise to be in the way. But beloved, for Peter and for you and me, there's a double entendre. Because if you change your inflection just a little, in the way becomes in the way. Peter, in those first verses, says you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. He's walking in this way of love and peace and of restoration. But in just a few short verses, right after Jesus says to them, I am headed toward Jerusalem where I will suffer and where I will die and I will rise again on the third day. Just after Jesus says that, my brother Peter steps up and says, hey, JC, look a here. I'm not up for that kind of language. Don't you know we just called you the Son of God? Look, if you let the rulers kill you, the big guy's going to look pretty weak. And who wants to follow somebody who looks weak? I'm just saying, JC, if you go down that road, I don't know how many folk going to be with you, including maybe, well, he didn't say that, but I don't know. Hey, come on, Jesus, we just get with the program. Let's get some positive self-talk here. After all, you're the Son of God. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Satan is not a proper name. It means the evil one. "Get thee behind me, evil one, for your thoughts are not of God, they're of humankind." Peter went from being in the way to being in the way. In the way of what Jesus was up to, in the way of the work of the gospel, in the way. And Peter didn't want the Jesus. He was trying to be in the way of the Jesus who says, "I'm going to ask you to deny yourself. I'm going to ask you to take up your cross. I'm going to ask you to follow me. And I've just told you I'm going to my death." Peter is absolutely trying to get in the way of that Jesus because he wants the one who says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." He wants the one that says, "All ye who are heavy burdened, come to me and I will give you rest." He wants the one who says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Peter's trying to get in the way of a message he does not wish to hear. And in this case, we cannot say Peter is faulted or foolish, but if we tell the truth, we have to say Peter is familiar. Because I don't want a Messiah who looks weak. I don't want a Messiah who just told me he's going to struggle and die, and if I follow him, that might be my lot. I understand Peter. I'm not mad at him. But here's what I want Peter to hear. And here's what I want us to know. Beloved, the struggle that Jesus was headed for in Jerusalem was a struggle that he knew he needed to undergo. It was a struggle that was going to shape the foundation of faith for thousands of years. It was a struggle that was going to be so epic that the response to the struggle we'd still be talking about now, 2,000 years later. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus knew that being in the way was a struggle, but he also knew that we are equipped and hardwired for struggle. At the moment of your conception, a sperm had to struggle past 10 million others to make you you. At the moment of your birth, you had to struggle through a space nobody thought you'd be able to come. When you took your first steps, you fell more than you walked. It was a struggle, and sometimes you cried, and it was a struggle to stand up again when you had been bumped. When you spoke your first words, it was a struggle to make yourself understood. And if you went to middle school, you remember it was a struggle. And if you ever failed yourself, you remember getting back up from that was a struggle. And if someone has ever mistreated you, you know it was a struggle. But you are here. And you are strong. And every one of those struggles has positioned you to be ready for the next one and to go forward. Jesus knew in the way was a struggle, but also knew that you and I were ready to do this. So beloved, hear with fresh ears what he says to Peter and to the disciples. Hear with fresh ears the notion of take up your cross. For if life is always easy, we will not grow, we will not progress. It is in the midst of the struggle that we find our strength and our mettle. It is in the midst of the struggle that we learn what we are made of. Take up your cross. Pick up that thing that you think you can't do. Eleanor Roosevelt said you should do one thing every day that scares you. Pick up that cross, not because you're so arrogant and you think you're that great. Pick it up because you were designed for struggle, and even more, designed to overcome the struggle. Pick up your cross and deny yourself. In our culture of "it's all about me," that phrase makes no sense. But I wonder if Jesus didn't mean deny yourself, deny that you are the chief of your life, meaning that there's this power that is higher and that is guarding us and guiding us. Deny that you can do anything you want, because if you call yourself Christians, there are boundaries in which we must operate. We can't do anything anyway, because there is this power and this love that speaks to us about what it means to be in the way. Deny that you can be or do it all and do and be in the way. Follow me in the way. And there's more good news in this text, because you see, when Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," you notice if you keep reading in that text, he does not give up on Peter. In that moment, he says, "You are in the way, but I'm going to speak to you so that you can remember who you are and whose you are." When you and I find ourselves being in the way, we have to look up and say, "God, I'm in your way. I'm in my way, but I want to be in the way." Like Peter, don't give up on me. Like Peter, speak to me truth that I might hear it and be called back into myself. Like Peter, guide me in your way. In the midst of a stewardship campaign, in the midst of a time when we're trying to set this church in a place where we can walk in the way, it does not surprise me there are struggles. It does not surprise me that it doesn't just all fall out of heaven like manna, because God says to us, "I know you are able to struggle. I know you can come through this." And when you come through the struggle, when you've developed those muscles, when you walk into the place of success and joy as defined by God, not by us, then there is a power that comes from looking back and seeing the distance traveled. There's a power that comes from looking back and seeing the obstacles overcome. When Peter stood on that Pentecost day and preached and 5,000 souls were saved, I wonder if he remembered when Jesus called him Satan. I wonder if he remembered the distance he had traveled, being in the way and now in the way. And I wonder if it didn't make that Pentecost moment even sweeter. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, we are human and we will get in the way. But the very God who loves us, the very God who is the Messiah and the Son of God, says, "I love you. My arms are open. My voice is clear. I will continue to call you through a voice of love to come back in the way." And we say, "Come, thou fount of every blessing." See, when I get out of the way, what I need you to do is tune my heart to sing your praise. Songs sung by flaming tongues of praise. When I get out of the way, what I need you to do is to call me back to that space, to that name of your redeeming love. Yes, come fount of every blessing. When I'm out of the way, wash me and bring me back. Come fount of divine love and spirit, and open before me the way. Open before us as a church the way. that we might walk in it, that we might find strength in it, and we might be so attractive because we are so filled with love, others might join us. Not in the way, but in Christ's way.